Hi, Birgitta, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well. I see
Yes.
Wyman has joined us as well. Hi, Wyman. And Sandra, hi, Sandra. Okay, so sorry, I'm a little late. I was transferring Finnegan to the babysitter. Sandra, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
And Wyman, how about you?
I can hear you.
Perfect. So let's start with some questions. No questions today?
I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a new client, and we have mapped, talked about her. Her problem is that she is judging her daughter, and then she condemns herself for judging her daughter. So it's about that. Her daughter is grown up. She's an adult. She has family and children and a job and everything. And she has become rather fat. And this lady, the mother, she can't help that she feels disgusted when she sees her daughter.
Okay.
So that feeling, emotion comes to her when she sees her, and of course her daughter sees that then because she can't hide it. And then after that, she condemns, judges herself because she can't hide it, and she thinks it's terrible because she should be proud of her daughter, and that's her daughter. So she knows everything like about it. Her daughter should take responsibility for herself. It's not her problem, and so on. And we have also found out that it comes from her father, that she was brought up. You know, it was very important with how you looked and that you behaved well and that you had a nice, that what you say, that yeah, what you show to the outer world should be perfect. So she does these things about other things also that are not perfect, but this is like the worst thing then.
Right.
So she knows it can, and her father was also disgusted by sick ladies.
Oh, okay.
And that was not allowed to say, of course, but she knew he was. So it comes from that. And of course she wants, her intention is she wants the best for her daughters, she wants them to have good lives, and she understands that they should decide themselves over their lives, and but she can't help getting this emotion.
Okay.
So what we have done, we have been discussing where it came from her father, so she understands that, and I have been talking to about all the Enneagram, the different personality the types, and that she's a perfectionist, wants to have control, but she knows that. She also says that herself.
Okay.
And but it's then it is, how can she get rid of this emotion? It's of course it's a troubling emotion, and I haven't done that pattern on her yet.
Yeah. My guess is there's probably a couple of things that you need to do with her. So one of the things, I guess, though, like, is like, what is like, so her dad didn't like fat ladies, and it was also about like creating a facade. Everything had to be perfect.
Yeah.
So, like, when I hear that, what comes up for me is that there's a confusion between who you are and what you do. And that's a big part of perfectionism, is that confusion between, like, you know, your, what your body looks like, what your thoughts are, and et cetera. And that says something about your value.
Yes.
So my guess is that that is operating probably at a high level. I'm also wondering, like, so what does she believe now that, what does she believe about her daughter being fat that makes her feel disgusted?
Yeah, she believes that, I don't know what, no, that I don't know.
Because so, that's interesting to figure out, like, what drives the
well, yes.
What like, is it, you know, is she an embarrassment to the family? Is
she, yeah, but what she believes is that she is an embarrassment to anybody.
Okay.
Because she said that if I should bring my daughter here to you, I should be ashamed of her. Like, she
because?
Because she's so fat. She doesn't look properly.
Okay, and so if she doesn't look properly, then she should be ashamed of her because?
But that is her mother would be ashamed of her because she hadn't taught her better. Like.
Okay, so I would really, because I still don't know, like I still can't step into that and think, oh yeah, now I understand how she feels disgust.
Oh.
So like getting a higher up the levels, I think that would be really valuable to understand really what drives that disgust.
I'm writing your suggestion. What do you believe about your daughter that makes you being fat?
Exactly.
That makes you feel disgusted.
Exactly.
Because, of course, this mother, she's very ashamed of herself then, feeling disgusted about her daughter.
So, yeah.
So that is, and that, then she's just thinking about this not all the time, but very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that be, then she is fighting the emotion.
And yeah. Yes. So it's a troubling emotion, definitely.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Does he have a binky?
I found one in the bag.
Oh, yeah. So I think
and
what you can then do once you've asked those questions of what drives the disgust, because it might be that she goes back to the reference experience with her dad and she might have a rule, if I'm not perfect, then or if, you know, or if my daughter's not perfect, then I'm not perfect, and then I should be ashamed of that. So, like, figuring that out, how all the links work, and then what you can do is check to see, like, what, obviously what she wants to feel instead, first, and then let's say that we change that who you are from what you do is separate, and that goes for everyone else. If you had that, would that make a difference? Would that allow you to feel like what you want to feel when you see your daughter? Pride. So that then you can start to see, like, what is going to make the difference.
Oh.
So you don't have to, like, figure that out. You can just, like, ask your
client. Yeah, because I have asked her what beliefs that would make her be proud of her daughter, and she can't find that belief.
Yeah, so my guess is, like, you know, like even thinking about something like, you know, as babies, most babies are fat. She's disgusted by her then. You can see, like, figure out, like, okay, so if you weren't disgusted then, what did you believe about her that was different? So that you can get, like, some idea of, like, what might be a possible solution. So that's just one suggestion, but then also, like, figuring out, okay, like, let's let's just like say if you were allowed to feel disgust and it wasn't a problem for you, does that allow you to let it go and access pride?
Yeah.
And prioritize that list. I'm guessing that probably you need, like, that could be one, and then separating human being from human doing, all or nothing thinking.
That we have been into, and all or nothing thinking. She says she knows about that. She even took it up herself.
So she knows a lot, but she's...
She knows a lot. She's very aware of what she thinks, and that it's not like beneficial thoughts to have in relation with her daughter, but she... Yeah.
And that sounds like it makes it
control
work.
Control and 100% perfect, you know.
Yeah. So she's putting those demands on herself as well. On top of that, it sounds like, oh, I know what I should do, but I'm not doing it. And that the shame,
yes,
like the that makes it more problematic.
Yeah, because she's also ashamed of herself, of course.
Yeah. Mm. And that actually sounds like it would stop her from being able to change it. Because she has to kind of like, she's denying it in herself, or like she's fighting it. So that might be another level to work with.
Mm. Because today she said that it was a relief for her to dare to say it to somebody, because she hasn't told anybody before.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. That was because I said that's good. I said that because now you are aware of it and you even dare to tell me. And that's the first step. I told her.
Breaking the taboo. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a process.
Yeah.
I told her. So, but I said, I don't know if I can change it like in a twink, or if you can change it in a twink, because that's what she wants. And I said, I.
Well, and that's also driven by her shame of herself.
Yeah.
Wanting to change it.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah. Do you have stuff to work with now?
Yeah, I have stuff to work with.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Femke, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm working with, I'm practicing, should I say, on a senior leader at school. He's like a deputy head teacher.
Okay.
And he's having trouble with his team and leadership of his team. He's not getting their buy-in.
Okay.
So what we're working on there is we've identified that he does all or nothing thinking, and identified that he is got a very high convincer strategy, where regardless of what they do, he just needs to see more and do more. So he's just never satisfied.
Right.
So I've got to the point of where we've got identification of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
My struggle is now, how do I work with that? So once I've got it, say for example, convincer strategy, how do I take it then into sessions? So if we've identified these things, how do I take it into the sessions to work with it?
So my guess is like how, like he wants to change this, obviously.
Yes, because it's blocking him working effectively with his team. So
what is behind that high convincer strategy? What is driving that?
He just doesn't think that he just thinks basically his thoughts are that they're not good enough, they're not effective enough, that there's just a huge gap between him and them.
Okay.
So there's quite a lot of negative thinking about the other people, and regardless of what they do, he's not satisfied.
So how does he do the high convincer? Is he discounting everything that
discounting?
Yeah.
So he's discounting. He is mismatching them. He is just not listening. He goes ahead and makes plans all on his own. He criticizes them. He does it in a whole variety of ways.
Okay. So, and what holds that in place for him? What is behind that?
Behind that is that he has promised to the Board of Governors that he would deliver, that he would turn this department around within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're now 18 months into the 2 years, and I would say it's worse. So he's under incredible time pressure, and he's just pushing harder in the areas where, you know, which is alienating people rather than pulling them onto his side. So what's driving him is time. What's driving him is thoughts that he's not a teacher, and he's dealing with teachers, so he feels that there's a discrimination. You know what I mean? He doesn't really know their world.
Mm-hmm.
He also wants to be recognized for this work. So he's got his own self-image is on the line as a result of this, because he put himself forward saying he was going to do a turnaround. He's a big, grandiose kind of man, big promises, and he hasn't been able to deliver. So there's part of himself also on the line.
Okay, yeah. So those are all getting in the way of...
Yeah.
My guess is that his behavior has just gotten worse because of all of that.
Yes.
So, first he needs to see that that's going on. You might have already done that with him.
I've done that, and we've identified things, but it's not shifting anything. So the knowing of what he's doing or identifying
it enough, like, so you've figured out what, you know, that there's like a high convincer strategy. How specifically does he do that? So like when he looks at his team, what, like, where does his mind go? What is it? Or what are the pictures that he sees? Like, so when they're doing something, where does his mind go? What does he believe about it? And what are his beliefs about that? That kind of like keep him in a high convincer strategy so that you can like figure out, okay, what is it? How does he do the high convincer strategy? Because that's when you can figure out, okay, how can it be different? You can also ask him, are there any other areas where you've worked with a team and you did have like a useful convincer strategy or a useful strategy to working with them? I would map out the social panorama. Where has he placed them in his mind?
We've done that as well. Kind of, I used physical objects so that I could see it.
Yeah.
And they're far away from him.
Okay, so do you know any processes, like any patterns to bring them in closer? Do you know how to do that?
Well, I've looked at the social panorama that's part of the ACMC. I'm not convinced that it's going to make a difference for him because... Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that you're not convinced because it's just testing it out.
Well, I've kind of tested it out with him. Also by using with physical objects and talking. But I think it's more there's a mindset that I'm not getting to. So maybe a little bit of what you're saying about how does he do the convincer strategy.
Yeah, and...
maybe that will work a bit stronger because he has some basic NLP background training.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
So I wonder if he moves these people Is he able to move them? Is he able to bring them in closer? What difference would that make for him? And then my guess is probably initially he is unable to do that.
Yeah.
Or he can do it, but they won't stay in place because there's like a objection there.
Yeah.
So then you can figure out like, what is the objection to putting them in this position? So that you uncover some of the mindset that is keeping that in place. And then you can ask him, so what resources, you can ask him to step into those positions. So into his team and look back on him.
Yes, second position. So I have done that as well.
Okay.
And I've also done it from a system perspective, looking, you know, from the outside, a school system. Looking at this team functioning.
So what resources were needed or what feedback did he get from the team that they would need from him?
He just said that they need to listen and they need to hear. You know, so it's all about the other person is having the problem.
So he's really good at blaming.
Yeah, very good. But blaming in such a way as you don't know that it's blaming, if you know what I mean. Just opting out of responsibility.
Yeah, but it sounds like that's what you need to confront him on, is that he's not taking responsibility.
And because it's all their problem, you know?
Exactly. Okay. So that might actually be the key.
We have looked at that as well. It wasn't the key.
So how do you respond to that?
Tell me a bit more. How do I show him how he does the convincer strategy? So, what would I ask him?
So, like, I'm curious. What's the you just do the strategy process for, because it's a nominalization. So.
Okay.
So. Like, what is it that, when does that get activated? What state does it put him in? And then what are all of the aspects of that? Blaming sounds to be one of them. Discounting sounds to be another one of them. So if you blame and and then discount, if you try that on, makes sense, right? That you're never going to be convinced of someone's abilities?
Yes.
So so that's how you want to map that out. Like, they do something and he only looks at what's wrong. And then he goes to blaming. That's my guess. I don't know. But, and that drives his state, maybe of frustration or lack of trust, superiority, I don't know.
So if I'm observing him, what I see is that he knows all the names and the labels, if you want to call it, like blame and discount and a convincer. But it's like it's in his head, but it's not getting to him as a human being. It's not shifting his behavior. So he can sit there diagnosing it almost like a doctor.
Yeah.
But it's not actually shifting him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not changing anything. So he just.
Well, have you done quality control with him? Is this working for him? Does it make his life a party? Does he want to continue this for the next 6 months and show up to the board and say, you know, I couldn't do it?
Well, you see, that's where the problem is, because the board thinks that the sun rises and sets with him and he can do nothing wrong, and they're not holding him to account. So strictly speaking, he's not being held to account. So they just think he's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. And well, when with him blaming people, then he never is held accountable.
Yeah, so it becomes this vicious loop where even if he failed to do this transformation, they've just extended his contract by a year because they're so enamored with him.
But how about himself? How he feels about himself?
Well, he's only asking the questions because he's got rid of the six staff members that are directly responsible for him. He's got rid of four of them. Okay. So he just keeps giving people packages to disappear. And I relay this back to him. I say, well, the evidence is showing that, well, one of the strategies is that you're dismissing people. Oh, he says, okay, no, that's their problem because they don't know how to do the job. So we go in this loop all the time.
Like, are you working harder than him?
I think I'm definitely working harder than him because I'm trying to
I'm just going to confront you with this. Why are you wasting your time if he's blaming everything on everyone else?
Because I believe he's redeemable. You're not allowed to laugh there, Birgitta. He's a good guy. In his heart, he's a good guy.
But the thing is are you helping him by taking the responsibility for him? Because he seems to be giving responsibility away really well. And obviously that's based on what I hear you say, but he seems to be good at giving responsibility away. And here you are taking more responsibility than him.
Well, I put it this way. I'm quite emotionally invested in because I can see the damage that he's creating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen the damage that he's created in some of the people's lives. So
the key here is I understand that. So that also means that you can't be completely clean. Or that it means you need to work harder, maybe to be in a know nothing state.
Yeah.
But if someone, and I think this is a lot of confronting and a lot of I hear you say this, but I don't see any feelings with it. And there you go again. You're putting it on someone else. You're talking about the other. Again, how about you? Do you want to continue doing it this way? And really getting into the quality control. Because from what it sounds like is that he's still inside of his matrix. He's not outside of it. They're being really good at identifying and looking at things and, with his mind, that's part of the system.
Okay.
So he's not out of his present state. And you need to do confrontation, show him his patterns, and not allow him to get off the hook.
Okay.
If he is not really into, if it's not about him, and if it's all their problem, then why is he wasting your time?
Yeah, because if you had to look at his whole being, it's not like that, and his whole being is actually quite emotionally intelligent. It's just that this team, he seems to have a block.
Okay. Well, and that's so there's just something there.
Yeah. Okay. And does it matter that he can't come up with any desired state? So he just wants to improve his leadership. But as much as I've worked with him, we can't seem to, the desired state just doesn't materialize. So I said, well, what are we working towards?
Yeah. And what is his present state?
Yeah. So what is his present state? Why? Yeah. Well, I go back to him again. I think I've asked him every single session, what does he want to work towards?
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But I don't think you even have the present state really clear.
No. Well, because it keeps hopping, you know, it keeps hopping like to him personally, then to him as the leader of his team, and then to him as and his relationship with the head teacher and the board. And so it keeps jumping from one thing to the other thing. I mean, they're all connected. So the present state all varies.
Yeah. So you need like 4 or 5 sheets and start with one. And then ask him, like, in this specific situation, how do you need to feel? How do you want to feel so that improves your leadership?
Okay, so that might help. I hadn't thought of that.
Good night.
Good
night. So okay. It's,
yeah.
Like the way that I do it is I have like 4 or 5 sheets of paper, and on each there's a different context. And I'm very clear, like, we're going to work with one context first. Which one would you like to work on?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, maybe that will help me, because that it makes it less like ping pong ball, you know, throwing juggling balls up in the air.
Yeah, because okay. So it's the grounding, and then it is, how do you say that? The confronting.
Confronting, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and getting more so confronting, and also the other thing you said was, what does he see? What, go down to the VAK. What does he see, feel, and do when he's doing like convincer, for example?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay. It helps me now, because I think just knowing that I should have those 4 or 5 pages, I think that will make a difference. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, just want to ask, you mentioned some patterns to bring people closer in the social panorama. Mm-hmm. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Yeah, which patterns are those?
It's Lukas Dierks. Let me see if he has a book in English, because he is a Dutch guy, and I know that I have a whole book from him with all these patterns that you can do. So there's some, like, if it is a reference experience, like, mm-hmm. and then he, you know, if it's like a problematic reference experience, and it was like, what did he do? Like, you know, if you're angry at this person, like, do you want to beat this person up or something like that? Get it out of your system. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things that he does, like with images, like that you've pictured in your mind, and going second position and having conversations, doing like a conflict resolution, things like that.
Mm. Okay.
How do you spell his surname?
Dierks.
Okay.
Thanks.
And he does have a book. Maybe like Social Panoramas.
It's called Social Panoramas.
Yeah, and then it's like Changing the Unconscious Landscape. So my guess is, and it's not cheap, but my guess is that that'll have patterns in it.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't think I have
It's £19, £20 in the UK.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is so funny. It's 50. Well, let me see.
It's paperback.
Yeah, $55 here in the UK.
Oh my gosh.
Expensive.
Yeah. So. But it's do you have it, Sandra?
No, I've Googled it. Okay. So it's on amazon.co.uk.
Right, yeah.
For £20. I didn't look at .com.
Yeah, that's probably better then. I'll check it in Holland. It'll probably be cheaper too, since it's the Dutch work. But he's done some great work, and I've trained with him and assisted on on a weekend with him, and we went through like a whole weekend of patterns. It's years ago, so I don't really know. And I have all of my materials, because otherwise I would have translated it, but all of my materials are in Holland, so. Well, it's not loading anything for me, so I can't see the table of contents, but that'll be worth checking out.
Okay, thanks for that.
Yes. So, and it's just quite powerful to make. Okay, any other questions? Did you, Wyman, did you want to talk about tasking? We can do that now and talk about.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Yes, please. I'd like that as well.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So,
Wyman, could you give me a bit of background of your question?
Yeah, I just really wanted some more ideas of what tasks you can give coachees after sessions. So it's like Sandra's case, for example, if you've got a lot of blaming going on, what kind of tasks could you give that gentleman to work on the responsibility, giving responsibility away?
Mm-hmm. So tasking, I usually, first of all, I usually let my client decide on the tasks.
Okay.
Because it's more powerful when they come up with it themselves. And there's a couple of things, I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, I ran a training in Toronto, and Unleashing Potential. And during one of the patterns, I worked with this lady who was an actress, and she had to do auditions. But she would never practice or prepare for her auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figured out that the reason for that was that she had to be perfect. And so, and if she didn't prepare, then at least she couldn't, she couldn't be held responsible. It wasn't about her. And so we changed that so that, basically separated human being from human doing. And then, I asked her, so when is the next time you're going to have an audition? And she said, oh, it's on Tuesday. And this was on a Sunday. And I said, okay, what are you going to do to prepare for this training and solidify this change that you've made? And she gave me a list of going through the pattern again and then going through the script. And so then I get really specific on Like how many times are you going to go through the script so that, you know, or until when are you going to go through the script so that she's really well prepared, and how, like, how will you do that in a way that it is, that it maximizes your feeling of success, even if you get a no? So the idea behind it is that the faster someone acts on the change, the faster, like the more like the likelihood you're going to get of it being implemented.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, ladies, give me 1 second because I need to go to the bathroom real fast.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, we hear you.
Perhaps she has some the microphone. It happened at the ASMC training in Norway last year.
Yeah.
Oh, it happened in Mauritius as well.
Yeah.
The speaker forgot to take the microphone and went to the toilet with it. Oh gosh, Sandra, your client sounds challenging. Mm-hmm.
He is very challenging, yeah. And because he's done NLP training, he thinks he knows a lot.
Yes. The thing is, what kind of legacy does he want to leave in his leadership? A legacy that disempowers people or empowers people?
Well, he doesn't see that he's disempowering people. He's literally viewed as a god.
Mm.
Apart from his team, everyone idolizes him.
Oh, gosh. Mm.
You know, so... Where are you?
I'm based in the Mauritius.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask is, how are you hoping to use the tasking?
Because I do give tasks to my coaches, but I kind of like give the same ones each time. I was just trying to get an idea of what other tasks I can give.
So what is the same one then?
Things like having appreciation. Sometimes I give them... Michael has a YouTube video explaining self-esteem and self-confidence. It's called Raising Children with Self-Esteem or something like that. If you Google it, Michael Hall self-esteem, then it comes up with the video. So I often give that. Those are kind of like the little things I give coaches to do, but I want to be a bit more structured on how to give tasks.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back, ladies.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sandra.
One of my most successful tasking activities, if you call it that, was another teacher that I was working with who was really struggling with her term validation, and so I just wrote down a whole lot of questions for her and sent it via email to her that says, well, and it's basically meta-modeling validation. When do I need validation? How much do I need it? Under what conditions do I need it? What does it look like? You know, just those kind of things for her to unpack what the word validation actually meant to her. And what she did is she and her partner went away for a long weekend into the mountains, and they took this list of questionnaires with them, and then he read it out to her as if it were a meditation while they were sitting in front of the fire in the mountains, and he just read and just allowed her time just to think it through. Mm-hmm. And it had a huge and amazing impact on her, because she came back saying that validation no longer had that same hold on her. She now understood what it meant for her. And it was literally just some basic meta-model questions, really, and some beliefs and values. So meta-program questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked really well because she was just so hung up on it, you know, too. Any case, that's what I did.
Yeah, very nice, Sandra. So, Wyman, if you think about it in this way, when you have present and desired state, the desired state has a specific structure and it's made up of certain elements. So my guess is in Sandra's case, like that, you know, not really having, when something has such a hold on you, but you don't really know what specifically it is, getting that kind of awareness. So it might be that your client needs awareness. Might be that they need to practice something several times, which like sometimes journaling helps, or let's say like, okay, practicing the state. Like last week I had one of my clients who needed to practice the state of acceptance.
Okay.
So then I'll just like, you know, every day for the next 2 weeks for 5 minutes every day, or just like, you know, 3 times 3 minutes, access that state.
Mm.
So it really is based, it needs to follow naturally out of the strategy process of the desired state and the steps that your client needs to get there.
Okay.
So if you do the beginning part and the creation part really well, then you've already got that information.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. I just got a message from Bruno, who's been trying to log on for 45 minutes, but he can't get on for some reason. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so is it like, could it be internet or something, or?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay. Because one of my coaches, she said that because she does a lot of discounting of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what other frame could you have? Rather than discounting, and she said that she always prays for compassion for other people, but she now realizes that she doesn't have compassion for herself. So I said, so what the task I gave her was every day to recognize three things that you've done that is kind to yourself, even a little thing like smiling to yourself in the morning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the learning the skill of discounting.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of that is that then when you come back, you can ask, how did it go? Is it going better? And there might be some things like, oh, like I'm really struggling with it. Okay, so let's figure out what's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have done like detection and analysis and you know, oh, this is, you know, this is what's going on. And let's say that you like, so, you know, that's one example. Let's say that it is the ownership like pattern and practicing the meta state of ownership. So doing that every day is what helps it get in the muscle. So that eventually they're able to access that in their desired state with the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So it just follows this, the structure of present.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, that gives me more to work on now.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Any other questions? We're not going to do a coaching session because we don't have time for that anymore.
Can I just add to Wyman? I have a client that I had for a long time. She's very negative to herself, always discounting herself. We have made what I made well, at least. So each time she has to tell me what has she made well this week.
Okay, yeah.
So then we fill in this. First I asked her to do it herself every day, but she didn't because that was too... she couldn't do it because she didn't think that was to boast about herself, you know. And that was not good to do that, to boast about yourself. You should have the jantelov that we have in Norway, that is not to be proud of yourself. But then we did this every time I met her. So we filled it. So she got many pages of what I did well. Okay. So at least that has helped some, and we come back to that list. And when she discounts herself, we go back to the list and say, "But okay, don't you remember? And your boss said so, and you did that, and so on."
Okay. Well, thanks for that. I have another question. The self-esteem pattern that's in APG. Between the state of appreciation and the state of awe, would you also encourage people to be kind to themselves? Because if they can't be kind to themselves, they won't be able to appreciate themselves.
That's an interesting belief, I think. I don't have that belief. I think that you can just bring appreciation to self. If there's any objections to it, then we work with objection. But initially, I'm just going to assume that they're going to be able to bring appreciation to self, especially once they have acceptance already.
Okay.
And you know, and the way that you do it is appreciate yourself as someone who can achieve things, who has potentials, who can, who is a learner. So focused on you as someone who can develop.
Okay. Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Someone who is discounting, if they have this frame of discounting in appreciation, how far would they go?
Well, yeah, but I think that's something that you need to ask them, and whatever is driving the discounting might also put a taboo on appreciating the self.
That's it.
And then you need to kind of uncover what are the objections and work with that.
Because if you have a client who really has who doesn't believe they're good enough, and so if you tried the self-esteem pattern, but they can't appreciate themselves,
Yeah, so then you need to work with that.
Forget that.
But yeah, so it's not, you know, like we create patterns, but the beauty of coaching is that we use the pattern as a guideline, and then whatever comes up, we also know how to work with taboos. So then if a taboo comes up, it's just a stumbling block that we address to get to the next level.
Yeah. So I think what I've been doing, I've been using the pattern to try to kind of like fix that I'm not good enough, but the pattern also kind of like flushes out the objections.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then you just work with those.
Yes, that's it.
So when you work with those, Femke, do you start again from present state and build the strategy of the present state? Or how would you work with those taboos?
Oh, if I'm going through that pattern and I notice, because this is already, once you are doing the pattern,
you're
in the creation phase of coaching. You know, so that's about creating the outcome. So I'm not going to go back and do a new strategy process because we've already done that. I'm just going to deal with the objection and say, like, how can you reframe that? Reframe it, give it some new resources so that there is the freedom to do the appreciation. And then continue with the self-esteem pattern and wrap that up.
Okay, so you've mentioned two things that you can do for taboo. One is reframe and the other one is look for resources.
Yeah.
So could you give me a bit more detail there? How do you do reframe and how do you do resources?
So you start with, I give myself permission to appreciate myself and taboo, that's how more objections come up, and then once you know the objection, you can quality control the objection, maybe find a positive intention and like the way that I do it is then I ask my client, so I give myself, now that you know this objection and also like I sometimes I'll throw in like, you know, knowing that, it's just an emotion, and it's just a sensation in the body or something like that. And then I'll go, I give myself permission to appreciate myself because, and I let my client finish that sentence. I might give a menu list, because a lot of the time the taboo helps, like, is to kind of keep them safe, but it's not actually keeping them safe. So uncovering that and asking, like, how is that working for you, allows them to kind of see, oh, if I just welcome it in, whatever I think is going to happen is actually not going to happen. That gives it the freedom to reframe and the sentence of that question. And then, you know, like, and then with the, how do you want to texture appreciation with a new resource? So humble appreciation, something like that.
So is that humble appreciation, is that like a resource then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're basically adding in a meta state, which is a resource.
Okay. Hello, it's Bruno speaking.
Hi, Bruno. Oh,
Bruno.
I'm sorry, I had a problem with my computer. I've been struggling to join you since like 45 minutes ago.
Not too bad.
So
Well, we've been going over questions. We didn't do a coaching session today, Bruno.
Okay. Mm. And you put the recording online, I suppose?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so I'll catch up on what you discuss.
Yes, I'm sorry you had such challenges.
Well, it happens.
Yes,
it happens.
Yes, true. So, we were getting towards the end of the session, but do you have any questions, Bruno?
No, not like this.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
Febka, are there any other ways to resource apart from metastating?
Yeah, because it could be like an anchor, like anchoring a specific picture in their mind, or like having a symbol, or having like a you know, like can be like an anchor, like a carrying a marble with you, or a metaphor. So there's a lot of different those are internal resources, and then like obviously there's also like external resources that sometimes people like can use, like asking someone else or asking for feedback if they want to improve, or someone to hold them accountable. Those are external resources.
Okay.
Okay, so any other questions before we wrap up the call? No more questions?
No, thank you.
Okay, very good. So then we are going to be on the call again 2 weeks from now.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome, and I'll put the recording online.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.